It's got an ending.
It's
like
got
this.
Here. It's got here. To Steve, this album would never have been done without you. You've been the creative force behind the whole thing, and your brilliance has shone through every aspect. From the writing at the very beginning of the artwork to the finished product, you're an incredible talent and a truly wonderful person. Thank you with all my heart. That's from your wife. That's so lovely.
Yeah, I write the credits.
No, you didn't. You liar, don't you? Love, Steve. No, you didn't. Now, we're just going to talk about. I want to talk about the book, which I bought, as I said, in hardback, signed. Arrived, very exciting, and read and was really interesting.
Which is all sold out now.
Yeah, I know, it's done ever so well. I mean, it's got 5 stars reviews on Amazon.
People can get it on Kindle, or and Amazon are doing it as well now on a print on demand, but we only did a limited hardback copy that you've got there.
Now, trying to miss off talking about it, but I will talk about it. The X Factor, it was the first series, it was just like nothing anybody had ever seen before. I remember watching on it, I voted for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there was 50,000 applicants, 16 weeks competition, and there was 8 million votes on the actual final show, and 22 million votes over the whole of the series. It was nobody had ever seen anything like it before. You got involved as being somebody who watched it on television every week. When you saw somebody go through, you cried. Why did it take you so long to write the book?
There were things that I wanted to say that I was a little bit concerned about. There were things that people didn't really want to hear, and I just felt people don't realise the pressure of media put on. At the time, I considered myself, I was relatively a celebrity.
But you've got no right to answer. Now you've got Twitter, you can come back. But at the time when it was happening for you, back in the early 2000s, there was no way that you could reply back unless you were in the papers.
Well, you still could in a way. Yeah, people didn't listen so much from you writing. You say something on a forum or something. Mm. People don't really listen to it much. Social media, in the way that Facebook and Twitter works, it covers a lot more people listen to it. So you're right in that respect. But it was more about the Max Clifford thing, to be honest. Mm. There were certain dark areas of my story that people don't want to talk about, and they still don't want to talk about. But when Max Clifford went down, it kind of it legitimised what I had to say. And it gave more weight to what I was saying that was true.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have believed what I was saying if all the stuff that came out about Max Clifford hadn't.
Mm.
Because he had the power to go, he's just a bit... The propaganda that they use, they can easily say, you can have a legitimate argument, but all they got to say is, well, he's bitter because he's not famous anymore.
Yeah.
And people go, well, that could be true. Mm. Yeah, and it could be true. I could be bitter because I'm not famous. The fact that I don't really give a monkeys about fame has nothing to do with it. They don't care. But you can see that by the way I was on the show.
Mm.
I went on it, here I am, I'm a singer. Please, you know, if you like my stuff, great. If you don't, I'll walk away. It's not a big deal. When they turn that around and they lie about you, that's different, because now you're attacking me as a person.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, no, if you want the reality, this is what happened.
Mm.
But it was the way I had to do that, I found it very difficult dealing with the propaganda. The machine is so big that you cannot win. Even if you've got truth on your side, you cannot win. You just got to bide your time. The thing is they try and beat it out of you. A lot of people that succeed in the business, they become submissive. And they know who they are. They know the people that wouldn't go to Downing Street 1 minute and next minute at Downing Street picking up an award or doing something that they become part of the establishment. They do.
Yeah.
You know, there's rockers that you would think, oh man, he's a rebel, yeah. And next minute they're an old fuddy-duddy standing with Tony Blair.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this is what happens. They beat it out of you.
Mm.
And if you want to be part of the game, if you want that fame and you want that money, you better play the game, because without it, we can destroy you. And that is how the whole, unfortunately, how everything works.
Mm.
Straight, you look at America, you've got Hillary Clinton up against Donald Trump. And you say, well, you call that democracy?
Mm.
That's not democracy if these choices, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That is it.
Mm.
That's what America's come down to.
Yeah.
And we're going the same way. You know, and unfortunately, we're run. But I'm listening to the radio. And, unfortunately, I was listening to. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I won't mention who.
Could you mention James O'Brien? I do quite like him, though.
It is good.
And, he's a wind-up merchant.
And they're talking about. And I want to tell you, the schools. I mean, the schools are all going to become academies now.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, okay, we know where this is heading. It's all about privatisation, and it's all about, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But the thing that bugs me is the freedom and fear and my cold and my blocked up nose.
He's not crying, it's all right, he's just sniffing, he's fine.
and the thing is lies and the manipulation of the individual to express themselves and live with without fear, being able to just go about their business. But there's people are so concerned with money and power that it does put a weight and a strain on our society, so much so that's why we've got things like depression and suicide.
I was going to say that. How long is it going to be with these reality shows before you get... I know people have to be vetted normally before they go on shows, especially, you know, the talent... Well, any of the shows, but the talent shows in particular, before somebody's actually going to end up topping himself. When you think about the pressure you had, most people don't get... I mean, Steve, this is like reading the book, and it's not... I've heard somebody said, oh, it's bitter. It's not at all. It's actually a really good read. It's interesting. And then there's actually some one-liners, which I fell about laughing, because you've got a bit of a caustic kind of, little digs here and there. I just was falling about laughing. So it's got a good balance to it.
Right,
But a lot of people who would be under that, there's nothing you can do, and it is relentless. When it's bad enough if you had a neighbour down the road that says, oh, she's bad enough for that man next door. So you imagine like opening it and you've got your family and your friends and they're reading it and they're like, that's not true. That isn't true. They're talking about gigs, they're talking about albums, they're talking about you as a person. And it's still, it's poor journalism though. It's like a little dig. It's not as, I mean, obviously at the time of X Factor, once it started to swing the other way, it was on you all the time.
It was bad. At the time, it was really terrible. And it continues. And even now, you know, the press will pick up on something I say on Facebook or Twitter, mainly Twitter.
Yep.
And they spin it. Because I use sarcasm a lot.
Yep, yep.
And I use it to make a point.
Mm.
And the point is lost on a lot of people. But that's okay. Because the people that get it, they get it, and the word does get around, and sooner or later things will turn.
Yeah,
and when people say, "Yeah, but I heard you said this about something," I say, "Yeah, but read it." The negative publicity that they want to project.
Yeah,
you know, the things that I've said are real news about how Max Clifford and people within X Factor, who I don't know who knew, who didn't know, but there were certain things that they suppressed. That they shouldn't have done, which if it got out to the mainstream, it, you know, heads would roll and the show would probably be cancelled. The problem is not the people that are involved in suppressing the news were involved in media, working for papers like The Sun, maybe The Mirror, maybe The Guardian, that they all know the story, they all know, but they won't talk about it. Because there's, you know, there's money involved.
Yeah.
X Factor still makes money. There's certain people that want to, and while they haven't got any other stuff on it, but, you know, when it all goes wrong, and then they'll say, oh, but nobody knew. Nobody knew.
Should we play California Dreaming?
Yeah, do you know what? This would be great, because being in Essex, Brent...
It's not like California, is it?
it is sunny. It's really lovely and sunny. And you know what's really nice about your studio is that you've actually got the sun coming in.
I know.
Because there's some studios you go to and they're really dark. There's no windows. And this, you've got a skylight. It's lovely. I came and saw Alexander O'Neill, Andy Abraham, and the Drifters. And it was an agent. And his name was Mark Aaron. And he's an agent of mine. And he's Essex-based. And sadly, earlier this year, he passed away, he had cancer. And he is a really top guy, a really nice guy. And he was always recommending songs for me. And 9 times out of 10, I'll say, no way, Mark, not going to do that. And then he kept on at me about doing California Dreaming. And I was like, And I took a, I went away and I listened to the Bobby Womack version, and I listened to Mum, and I thought, you know what, let me, I got my guitarist and we sat down and we did a before, we just played it, and I said, let's try it at a gig. So we was at the 606 Club in Chelsea and I performed it acoustically, and it, everyone loved it, the whole place was rocking. So I thought, you know what, let's record it, and it just turned out great. It's one of my favourite songs on the album.
Here we go. This is Steve Brookstein with California Dream. Oh, I get your surname right.
No, you don't. No, see, you're terrible. It's terrible.
Sorry.
It's like Eileen. My wife is Eileen, Steve spelled Brookstein. E-I. So it's Eileen.
Eileen. I know, that, that's my mum's name.
Exactly. E-I is I, so it'd be Brookstein.
Brookstein. So it's my... let's say I've got a slight Cockney accent and saying it wrong.
It could be. It's like... so you would say Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein. You know Albert Einstein, that bloke who did a bit of physics and stuff.
I'm just going to call you Steve, all right?
Then.
There we go.
That's all right.
Here is Steve with California Dreaming, you know what I mean.
The sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. I'd be safe and warm if I was in LA. California dreaming in such a winter's gray. Church, I passed along.